Quinn Sensei, otachi ni natte kudasai. Would you please stand? Before I speak, I'm going to give you my message. I've written the main points down on this card so that you can check it out when you need it. Kamisama no subarashi mimegumi ga anata no ue ni arimasu yoni onegai itashimasu. May God's marvelous love and blessing be upon you. And in Japan, the beautiful custom is not this, but this. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Quinn is standing on the line to begin her journey, her run, her race. Her foot's right there. And when the pistol goes off, she's going to take off with a dash. And all of you are in the stands, cheering, praying, and celebrating. I'd like to just take us on a little journey. I said, Lord, what will I say for Quinn today? He said, plain words. But I want to give us a little bit of background. We walk by faith. With faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the confidence that we hope for things that will actually happen. Faith gives us the assurance about things we cannot see. Through faith, we have accounts of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Rahab, A.B. Simpson. He was weak physically, and God healed him by faith, and how he worked for God. Mabel Francis is in the list. George and Lola Braden are in the list. They were at NIAC Missionary Training Institute preparing to go to the Arab lands. They were ready to get on with their journey after studying. George had $30 in his pocket. He was taking the family from NIAC, New York, back to Ohio to get ready to leave on a ship. He went to pay the last rent. $30 in his pocket. Can you believe that one? He left Miriam in charge of her sisters, and while he was gone, she thought, well, I'll keep these sisters busy. So she got a stick and proceeded to teach the kids what was on this beautiful painting hanging on the wall. And as she taught, she poked holes in that picture. Well, when George came back, he said, oh, my word, what's this? My daughter has ruined the owner's picture, and I've got to go make restitution. He went. All that was in his pocket now was $30 to get him home. He asked the owner, how much do I owe you for that picture? And he said, $30. So he paid the $30 and had nothing left. Got his family in the car down to the train station where they were getting in line to buy a ticket to Ohio with no money in their pocket. A lady came up to George and said, I think God wants me to pay for your ticket. Walking by faith. George was my grandfather. Harry and Miriam are in the list, serving God in Cambodia, then in Beirut, Lebanon, interned under the Japanese during the Second World War. Harry came down sick and had polio. In the Far East, there's no care for such a disease. They prayed, and God healed him, walking by faith. Harry and Miriam are my parents. Richard and Janice are on the list, surprisingly enough. We had wonderful years in Japan, walking by faith. We opened up a Shalom Center, which taught English and the Bible. We moved from one place to another for various reasons, and the final place we moved to was perfect in location, on the Peace Boulevard, in the City of Peace, and here's Shalom Center. But our believers said, oh no, we can't move to that location. It was right on the corner, two floors, perfect. But down at the entrance, there was a machine that sold pornography. And so our believers said, oh, we can't go there. We said, oh, couldn't we just pray that God would remove that machine? Oh, well, that's a good idea. So we prayed. And the day we moved, I was scared to look. Lord, you said you'd do it. We're trusting you. We pulled down the street, and I looked, and those machines were still there. I said, oh, no. I started unpacking stuff, and my husband went to pay the rent. And when he came back, he said, oh, Janice, guess what? The store downstairs has gone out of business, and those machines will be gone in 2 weeks. Hallelujah! Walking by faith. Alan and Jill, our third son, has spent 2 terms in Japan. When I looked at the house they chose, I said, oh God, they're not going to make it here. I mean, this man is 6'4". They had 4 children by the time they were finished with their term, and the house that they lived in was tiny, tiny, tiny. But they said, we want to live where we work instead of driving from some other location, walking by faith and trusting God. And then there's Quinn McGarvey. In the line of faith, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, it's interesting to read that Mabel Francis, our, if you could call a saint, you know, in the Alliance, a saint, we'd call Mabel Francis our saint. I don't know if you've ever read her story, but it's marvelous. She spent over 50 years in Japan, and 1 term was 26 years long. Faithful, faithful lady. Do you know what month she left for Japan? In November. I thought, oh, Jesus, thank you for that connection for Quinn. Mabel went as a single missionary and had a marvelous ministry. She's held up as our queen. I had the great privilege of meeting her when Dick and I first went to Japan, and what a marvelous woman of God she was. She was raised in a pastor's home. She was called at a young age. She went to NIAC Missionary Training Institute to receive her training. While she was there, a missionary came by and was speaking at chapel and said, you know, while you're in America, you'll be praying for others. But when you get to the mission field, you'll be praying for yourself. She thought, oh, how unsanctified is that? And when she got to Japan, she understood why that was said. Her outfit consisted of 1 small steamer trunk. We don't even know what the word means, do we? 7 pieces of cutlery, 2 books, family mementos, 1/2 pound of cocoa, and 3 cotton dresses. 1 dress she couldn't even wear because it was the color that all the men wore, so she was left for 2. Thank you, God, for women of God who go and serve and love on their Lord. Mabel found that it was impossible to live without faith. Now, Japan is an easy country to enter, but it's hard to penetrate. There will be struggles. There will be lack of response. There will be lack of understanding. It's interesting that the ambassador to Japan, way back when, Edwin Reischauer, who wrote a book on Japan, The Chrysanthemum and the Sword, he said this about understanding. Misunderstanding is the norm. Understanding is the happy accident. So, Quinn, be ready. Don't worry. You have a marvelous future ahead of you. I love Japan with all my heart. I wish I could go with Quinn. I'd carry her suitcases. I would clean her house so that she could study and do the very best that she can do. And we pray that God's marvelous blessing be upon you. So what's my message to you, Quinn, this morning? Three little couplets. And I know couplet means it's a poem, but no, these are words. Three couplets. Number one, stability and contentment. And I base that on Psalm 1. Couplet number two, marvel and mystery, based on Hebrews 11. Gift and process, based on Hebrews 12. Couplet number one. When we move, life brings great challenges. What do we need? We need stability. We find it in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Stability with the word of God. Contentment. Now, moving is one thing and ministry is another. You start ministry. You run into frustration. And it's easy to not be content. But when we look at Psalm 1, we see what? That person who is like a tree is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do will prosper. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. In Lebanon, there are these cedar trees, biblical, used for building the temple, beautiful, strong trees that go up into the sky. Now, their root system is not that deep in the ground. But where you have one cedar, you have two, three, four, a whole host of them, and their roots intertwine. And that's what makes them strong. When a tree of Lebanon's root hits a roadblock, a rock that it cannot penetrate, it's in the way of growth, that root does not go around the object, it pierces through to the other side. And so we see the tree of Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon, represent that stability and that, can we say, contentment growing in the beautiful air of the beautiful country of Lebanon. A personal testimony. We were in our second term. Happy in ministry, starting out the new work Shalom Center, and we were asked to move from Kyoto to Hiroshima. Guess what? We didn't want to move. We thought, well, let's just go home, pack our bags and go home. So we called my husband's father, who was dying of cancer. Richard is his only son in Japan. And we said, Dad, would you like us to come home and take care of you? And he said, no. Sometimes God works through authority and we don't have anything to do with it. We were tempted to pack our bags. But God gave us the stability to keep on. Now, Mabel Francis experienced just the opposite. The depression came, and headquarters wrote and said, there's no money, Mabel. She said, that's okay, I'm staying. The Second World War came. Mabel, come home, we're closing down the field of Japan. Mabel said, after praying and looking to the Lord, she said, no, I'm not going home. Now, we don't like to be disobedient to authority. I'm not saying that. But she had that stability and that contentment in ministry that to me is phenomenal. So the first principle of being steadfast, content, keep in the Word of God. The Word of God is the only source of our strength and our ministry. We cannot do without being in the Word. And so I pray, dear Quinn, that you will commit yourself to keeping in the Word of God. Principle number one, keep yourself in the Word of God. The couplet was being stable, having stability, and having contentment. Couplet number two, mystery and marvel. In Hebrews chapter 11, I discovered something that I thought all by myself, and it might not be theologically said yes, but this comforts my heart. Listen to the word of God here. In Hebrews chapter 11, we hear of all those who've lived and walked by faith, and many never saw the results of their faith. And so Paul says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of all the other men of faith and women of faith. But by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back from the death. Victory! But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at. Their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained as prisoners. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed by the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goat, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. Two groups, aren't there? The ones with the victory, the big accomplishments, the others in suffering. And I say this is mystery. We do not understand why we have this and why we have this. My husband and I carried around a mystery bag. Anything we couldn't figure out, we put in there and said, when we see Jesus, we'll ask about that one. But I find myself in one of the two categories. Do you? Success, moving up, great influence, marvel, tears, sickness, disappointment, giving ourselves without seeing any results. My challenge is, let's embrace what God gives to us. You know, he's the one who decides. And so on this mystery and marvel, we see the sovereignty of God. And that, Quinn, will hold you in times of difficulty. God is over all. He can put me where he wants to put me. He can put me up, he can put me down. And the famous John Wesley prayed this prayer, which I'm almost afraid to read because it is so stark. John Wesley went through a lot of difficulty in his life, but he ended up as one of the stars in the Christian world in England. This was his covenant prayer. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and thy disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, you are his, and he is yours. Mystery and marvel. Embracing our suffering. You know, when hard times come, we want to say, oh no, I don't want that. That, no. But my encouragement to you, Quinn, after so many years of ministry, let's embrace the problems. Instead of considering them something that's just impossible in the way it's ruining my ministry, I'm down and out, embrace the difficulties. And life will keep its wonderful meaning. This is Japanese pottery. There's gold in the cracks. The gold makes the cracks, the cracked pot, valuable. Actually, it says this. The Japanese art of repairing precious broken pottery with seams of gold, understanding that the price has become more valuable in its brokenness. May your seams of gold, Quinn, be a source of great strength and encouragement to others. The mystery and the marvel. Let's embrace, because the sovereignty of God says, yes, this is good for you. No, this isn't, and it will be withheld. And finally, the couplet, gift, and process. Hebrews chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And now let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. God initiates our faith. So many times in Japan, I heard people say, oh, my faith is so small. I said, don't say that. It's a gift. And if it's small, it's probably our fault because we're not trusting God. Faith is a gift given by God to each one of us. And then the process is how he works with us through our life. What does he mean here by saying stripping off every weight? And then he says the sin that besets us. May I just give you a few thoughts? Just because we leave this country and go to another does not mean that we're perfect now. We'll see ourselves even more in a different culture. Do I get angry and miffed when someone comes to my door every day for 4 years? Stripping off weights could be the lack of joy. When we don't have joy, we're heavy, aren't we? Stripping off weights could be negativity. And when Dick and I first went to Japan, everyone seemed negative. You work so hard and nothing happens. we said, we are committed to joy. And when we returned 4 years ago for a little 5-year stint, I was just as happy to go back then as I was the first time. Thank you, Jesus. Negativity, fight it like the plague. Depressed spirit. Nobody is drawn to a depressed spirit. I said to my Japanese believer, smile for heaven's sake. If we look as mad as everybody else, no one will want to come to Jesus. And it's true. It's true. Depressed spirit. No, no, no. Comparing. When we're not doing so good over here, we look over there and say, well, how's come they're doing better than me? And that eats away at our spirit, and it's deadly. That's a weight. And finally, putting God in a box. How big is your God? Let me tell you, my husband and I tried everything possible to win the Japanese. Morning coffee when it's a tea-drinking country. A potato party when you eat rice. Try everything, twice. The first time it might fail, try it again. And if it doesn't work then say, that wasn't a good idea. Do not keep God in a box. He is bigger than our boxes. He's bigger than our expectations. He's bigger than the ideas we've got. And in Japan, everybody's looking for the key of evangelism. Guess what? There is no the key. Jesus is the key, and he will use every means and every person for his wonderful, beautiful glory. Now that's the stripping off of the weights. How about the sins? You know, we're not sinners trying to be saints. Did you know that? We are saints who sin sometimes. Let's keep that in our mind. We're dressed in the righteous robes, white, pure, standing out for God. But we do sin sometimes. And we need to admit it. And one dangerous sin is resentment. Ooh, I just don't like that. Resentment grows, and it's deadly. Another is self. Mabel Francis talked about the self life a lot. She had one message, Jesus Christ crucified. I'm on that cross. I must die to myself. She struggled with this. Her book's full of it. And I'm glad you have a copy, Quinn. I was going to give you mine, but you have one, so I'll keep this. But this is what she wrote in one of the chapters. Humility. Andrew Murray's thoughts. Humility is never to be fretted, or vexed, or irritated, or sore, or disappointed. It is to wonder at nothing that is done to me. It is to feel no resentment against anybody or anything. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, when I am blamed and suspected. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and to be at peace in a deep sea of calm when all around is trouble. Boy, I wish I were there. But God's still working on me. Thank you, Jesus, for pointing out the things that I need to change. And my life is almost over. But I still say, God, if that's what I hear about me, I better believe it, and I better change. Let's all go down in humility and allow God to work, because the self-life is with us wherever we go, and we want to live the crucified life. So principle number 3 is God will take care of you. God will take care of you. The gift is received, and then there is a process. And I love to laugh about, I don't want to get into heaven's gate looking great. I want to be disheveled, full of scars, torn clothes, and slide in there. Let's not get so comfortable that we aren't out there doing the work, that we aren't loving on those people who need love. And the Japanese are starving for love. Starving for love. And Quinn will go, and immediately there'll be a light in her community, a light for Jesus. Every time a missionary comes home, I say, oh, the light's gone out. What are they going to do? My light there's gone, but here comes Quinn. Thank you, Jesus, for Quinn. And we welcome you as the mission field's representative, although I wasn't told I was. I'll make myself one. I welcome you to the team. Yoku irashaimase. You are Quinn's cheering church. Pray for her. Love her. Write to her. You know, emails are fine, but cards of encouragement are so wonderful. Be her backbone, or her back, behind her back, at her back. So the principles are there: stability, contentment. Then we have the marvel and the mystery. Then we have the faith and the process. In a nutshell, that's what it is to be a missionary.